want to say that it was a great day today and wonderful weather. Seems like it's kind of a cool temperature outside right now, and we are enjoying that, of course. And today's been a good day all the way around, and we celebrated our birthday today, my birthday. And so we praise the Lord for that. And thank you for all of the birthday wishes today. And Lord's been good, giving us some good and great friends. And we appreciate your friendship. I just want to say a thank God for the salvation that he has imparted to me. And I thank God for our church, Calvary Baptist Church. We love you and love our friendship here. I was talking with Brother C.J. Martin earlier today, and was speaking with him, and I believe this July was be our three-year mark here as members of the church. And so it's hard to believe that it's been 3 years already that since we first came over here and shook our first hands with at the first very time here at Calvary. So we love you, and we appreciate your kindness from day one. And again, we appreciate the service this morning and ladies that came along and sang for us, and all. What a wonderful service this morning. Tonight is a brand new service, and we believe God has a brand new word for us tonight. And so we're celebrating that. We're excited tonight for the service. And what we're going to do this evening, we are going to, again, just spend a moment and mention some prayer requests, a couple praises. We don't have any music tonight per se, any instrumentals and things along those lines. We have, we do have a particular song instrumental per se by a music player we're going to play in just a moment when we do pray. But we do want to mention some prayer requests, and then we want to move things along and get into the Word of God. But before we pray, I do want to mention some of the folks we mentioned this morning, and then we will pray. Let's continue to remember Jenny Clanton's twin brother, Jesse Cottle, May 5th. He'll be having kidney surgery. Jeff and Sharon Hodges' son-in-law, Chris, as he prepares for surgery. Let's remember Carrie Bennett and her surgery recovery. Mary Kelly's granddaughter and her leukemia down in Florida. Shirley Townsend, but also Brother Townsend and his fluid. I believe he's experiencing some fluid buildup on his lungs, Brother James Townsend, that is. So let's remember Brother James tonight. Fluid buildup on his lungs. Miss Cece and her medical test results coming up in May. Let's really remember. Pray hard for Miss Betty Berry with a. Some medical things that's transpiring with her. And in church, let's really pray for Brother Alan Clayton, Miss Terry as well. Terry Clayton, as they're, they've really got their hands full. They're not in a bad way. What I'm saying is that things are hard right now for their family. And things are taking a turn for the worst, and so let's really pray for them and Miss Betty, Brother Allen, Sister Terry. We love you guys. We're praying for you tonight, and you know we're here for you if you need us. Let's pray for Miss Cassie Karanovich, Randy Ely's mother, Diane Ely's brother, all of the shut-ins. And again, all of these prayer requests and updates are on our prayer request portion of our online bulletin. And so if there's anything you need to know concerning these prayer requests, you can look in on our online bulletin, www.calvaryministries.com www.thebridgeofhope.org, or you can message me or contact me or Miss Catherine Plemons, one of our members, and we will gladly bring you up to speed on any particular situation. But nonetheless, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer tonight, and we're just going to dive right into God's word, and we pray and hope it'll be a blessing to you and your family this evening. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name tonight. Lord, thank you for the wonderful day we've had today. Thank you, God, this morning for the women that sang praises unto you. Lord, we're thankful we've been to Calvary. Oh, God, we're thankful that you're with us in the valley. We're thankful, Lord, that, oh, God, that you're a present help. We're thankful, Lord, that even when we don't feel you, you're there with us. We're thankful, Lord, for the reliability of the scriptures. And God, when the emotions are there and the feelings are there, that's great. But when they're not there, does not change the truth that you're there. And we rejoice over that tonight. We can build our life on that. Emotions come and go, but your truth remains. We can move forward and we can plan and we can move ahead without emotions, without being up, without being down, because truth remains. You're there. You will always be there. You'll care for us. You'll provide for us. Every need supplied. If something is not there that we think we need, then it's pretty evident we didn't need it. So we'll march on. And God, we can just trust you with anything that we may need in our life. In fact, you say in Philippians that Paul says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. And so, Father, we're thankful that all needs are supplied. Tonight, Lord, we lift up Miss Betty Berry to you in prayer, and we pray that you'll touch her body, touch her mind, Lord. Father, touch her body, touch her heart, Lord. Touch Brother Allen, Lord. Touch Miss Terry. God, they have their daily activities, Lord. They have their jobs and responsibilities, Lord. And then Miss Betty has her ups and downs, her ins and outs. And Father, this family just needs your prayers tonight. And this is a new phase for them in life. They need your touch. And Father, I just ask that you would grant a special touch, Lord, a genuine, real touch from heaven upon them tonight in a very special, special way. We love them, Father. We pray for a blanket of grace upon them. Be with Brother James Townsend, Lord, in his lungs, the fluid buildup, God, that you would allow that to dissipate. Help him breathe, Lord. Feel better. Miss Shirley as well, we pray for her. And that cancer spot on her lung, God, that you would deliver her. You've done that before, and what a blessing it is. The song she sings, the God of the mountain is still the God in the valley, and she knows that. We know that. And Father, thank you for showing yourself mighty through her life during this time. God, all these needs, all these prayer requests, Lord, thank you for bringing those through surgeries and kidney operations and all the things that you have, Lord. We're thankful for that. Thank you, Lord, for the report of Barbara Ann. Brother Jack and Sister Jackie is going to pick her up tomorrow. That's the latest we heard. And she has yet survived another stay at the hospital and another close call, Lord, at death. Showing yourself mighty, Lord, through the weak things of the world. What an awesome God that you are, Lord. We're thankful for that. Father, we just lift up all these requests, all these needs. We pray, Lord, that you would be with each and every person. Be their shepherd, be their guide. We love you. We thank you. We praise you tonight. And we love you again for who you are and for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're going to be in the book of Galatians tonight. Galatians chapter number 6. The book of Galatians, chapter number 6. Book of Galatians, chapter number 6 tonight. I want to look at one verse. This morning we were in the book of Psalms, Psalm 34. We looked at one verse there, verse number 6. We looked at David's deliverance, how that David was given personal testimony. He said, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles." And tonight we're going to look out of the book of Galatians, chapter number 6, and I want to look at verse number 9. To a lot of people, to Bible readers, those who study the Bible, this would be a familiar verse. And I want to bring a subject tonight that I feel we all could understand and relate to. In fact, the title would be one word, and that is the word patience. The word patience tonight. I wonder if there's anybody out there that is in need of patience. Patience. You know, when it comes to life and the Christian life, we're all in need of patience. I believe it's in 1 Peter or 2 Peter. Chapter number 1, Peter tells us to add to our faith. And he mentions several things. He says, add to your faith virtue. And he mentions several things, but one of those things is patience. James talks about, and I've been mentioning this several times, but James talks about trials. James chapter number 1, and he talks about joy and counting our trials in a joyful manner, knowing that our trials, the end result of that is patience, that God is working things to our character. He's developing us. And one of those things is patience. I want to say tonight, if we are going to get to the place where God wants us to be, if we're going to get to that place of usury, if we're going to reach that place down the road where God sees us at, where God wants us to be at, down the road. We're looking at today and we're looking at tomorrow. But God sees the big picture. If we're going to get to that place where God wants us to be down the road, we have need of patience. And so we have tonight Paul in the book of Galatians, and he's writing to the Galatians here. And we know that there's some mixed doctrine, and much of the book of Galatians has to do with Paul setting the record straight. In fact, in chapter number 5 and verse number 1, he says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." You see, the Judaizers had tried to add the Mosaic law to the liberality of Christ and his blood and the freedom from sin. And they tried to add that, the works of the law, to being free in Jesus by his blood. And so Paul is saying to the Galatians to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't get mixed up trying to live up to the law, because nobody has ever been able to do that. He says, stand fast in Jesus. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid for your salvation. He completed salvation's plan. And so live in that moment. Accept that. It's not a sin card. It's not a green card to sin. You fall, you confess, you keep going. And so that's basically the book of Galatians. But in chapter number 6, in verse number 9, Paul is talking about the subject of patience. Notice, if you would, in verse number 9, talking to the Galatians, and he is still in that vein of liberality, and he is talking about patience and well-doing and serving one another. He says in verse number 9, Galatians 6, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Again, I want to use that one verse tonight. And again, want to talk to you about the subject of patience. We won't be long tonight, but I hope it'll be a blessing. We won't be long again. That is, if the Lord doesn't get in it. But if he does, we'll be however long he wants us to be. I want you to think for a moment about the farmer. The farmer is the one who, he prepares the ground. And he's the one who sows the seed. He's the one who covers the ground. He's the one who waits on the rain, prays for the rain. And then, you can probably finish the statement or the train of thinking, but the farmer is then the one who waits on the crop. You see, it is a game or a trade of waiting. The farmer has to have patience. It's a time of waiting. You see, the moment that that seed is invested in the ground, there has to be time invested. I mean, the moment that that seed is placed in the ground, it doesn't just instantly come up. In fact, if that seed, the moment it's placed in the ground, if it instantly comes up, then there's something wrong with the seed in the ground. Because it's not natural for an instant crop to come about. The moment that that seed is placed in the ground, there has to be a duration of time. There has to be rain. There has to be heat. There has to be elements involved. There has to be time. And so tonight, the whole idea is that in life, when we're living our lives for Jesus, when we are taking each day as it comes, we are raising our families, we are punching the time clock, we hopefully all have goals and things we want to accomplish, then the thing about that is patience has to have a place in our life. Crops do not come up overnight. Sometimes in life, it is possible to be overly ambitious. Sometimes in life, it's possible to get ahead of God. Sometimes in life, it's possible to jump the gun, get ahead of God, and things happen. And that's when problems occur. So tonight, I want to look at verse number 9 and just try to glean some things and hopefully be a blessing and see what we might get from this verse. And so I want to mention three simple things. Three words tonight from verse number 9 dealing with patience. The first word is heart. It's heart. If we're going to have patience, if we're going to go where God wants us to go, if we're going to receive what God wants us to receive, be what God wants us to be, have God's blessing on our life, we've got to take heart. We've got to have heart. Notice what he says. The Bible says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Notice the word weary here. The word weary literally means spiritless, or it means lose heart. And so it describes a moment in time when life or work gets hard or difficult. It's a moment in time or a space in time when there's pain involved or it's hard. It's also, and it's coupled with this moment in time when it's hard and painful, but it's coupled with something that is unfinished or unrewarded. You are experiencing a time where you're spiritless. You are losing heart and you want to quit. And so the Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing. Weary, spiritless, lose heart. It's those hard and difficult times in life. It's when you're living your life and you feel as though you're being unrewarded. You're working hard. Day in and day out, you're plugging along. Hard work. You're going unnoticed, and it's hard. You're going, you almost feel as though you're unappreciated. The work is unfinished. It's never enough. And also, there probably and could be pain involved, possibly even some hurt involved. It's hard work. Well, during these times, it's the easiest to lose heart. During these times, it's the easiest time to lose heart, and it's the most easiest time to quit. And so Paul here, I want you to notice, he says to let us not be weary in well-doing. What do you mean, well-doing? Look, if you would, in verse number 1. Paul says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And so Paul starts off this chapter talking about a brother that has fallen and this other brother restoring a brother. So immediately Paul is talking about the ministry of restoration. Verse number 2, he's talking about being a burden bearer. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Look at verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So in verse number 3, he's talking about possibly pride. Verse number 4, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. Verse 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. And these, in verse number 5, are personal burdens. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And then in verse number 9, and let us not be weary in well doing. I said all that to say this, that Paul is saying, don't lose heart in doing well. Don't be spiritless. Don't quit. And Paul is saying that sometimes when you're in the ministry, in life, and you're over here and you are restoring people, and then you're over here and you're bearing burdens with people, and then you're back here and you're bearing your own burdens, and then you're over here, you're over here and there's pride issues, and then you're over here and you got all these other situations, and so you're fighting, not losing heart. You're bearing burdens and you're trying to restore and you're helping others and you're trying to help the load of others and your own load. You're struggling and you're experiencing pain in life. You're working and you're striving and you're trying to, keep going and plugging along while all along there's unreward, unfinished, undone process. It's hard. It's difficult. And you're struggling not to be spiritless in the matter or lose heart. He said, and let us not be weary in well-doing. So Paul here says to take heart. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Sometimes in life, it's the good things. We're trying to help others. We're trying to bear burdens. We're trying to, help others and bear burdens. We're daily hard on the grind. We got our own problems and we're trying to take care of this one. We're trying to take care of that one. Even there's times where we feel like there's no reward even. There's pain involved. There's all of these things going on. It's a very complex life at times. And here we are trying not to operate spiritlessly. We're trying not to do things without heart here. And all along these are good things. Well-doing. But when it comes to life, patience is involved. And so all of these things are working together in our life. And God is calling out tonight for patience. Patience. I wonder tonight if there's anybody who God is calling for courage. You're watching tonight, and there are some good things you're doing. There are some well-doing things you're involved with. You work a good job. You're helping people. You're taking care of folks. You're taking care of your family. There's some good things you're involved with. But it's a daily grind. It is the turning of the wheels of life. But you feel possibly like you're unrewarded or unappreciated. But it has got to the place where you feel spiritless. You're there in body, but the spirit's not there. You're losing heart. I want to say tonight, take heart. Take heart. Be not weary in well-doing. You see, tonight God is stretching us. He is wanting us to grow in the area of patience. Why is that? Because he has something for us down the road. He is wanting us to add to our faith virtue. And virtue, knowledge, and all those other things, you see. Patience is definitely something that's much needed. Let me mention something else. Not only when it comes to the area of patience, the word heart is necessary. And so he says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. And so Paul is telling us that we're to take heart. But there's a second word here, and that is harvest. Harvest. He says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. But then he says, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, he says in this verse, for in due season we shall reap. What does that mean? In due season we shall reap. Is Paul talking about we're going to make a lot of money? Is Paul telling us that we're going to reap a big house and nice cars and all of that, live the life that's fancy? What is he talking about? Is he promising us that we're going to have a castle and, you know, all of those things, a life of plenty? I don't believe so. But he does tell us, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Let us take heart in doing the things that we're doing. In fact, in verse number 10, he says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And so let us be not weary in well-doing, taking care of the people of God, the house of God, all men, burden-bearing, responsibilities in life, well-doing, being stretched. Patience is taking occasion, being stretched, being worked in our life. Well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Talking about finances? Talking about plenty of money? No. What is he talking about? He's talking about a harvest, for sure. But what kind of harvest? Well, again, these are farmer terms, I believe. Now, a farmer plants and a farmer receives. A farmer plants and a farmer receives. And of course, the words due season, it speaks of harvest time. Now, I want you to look back in verse number 8. Verse number 8. We all are sowers and reapers of one or two areas. Look at verse number 8. He says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And then he says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And so part of this due season harvest he's talking about has to do with what we're sowing, whether it's the flesh or the Spirit. And so tonight we, when it comes to this harvest, in part, I believe it has to do with what we're sowing to. We are either people who are sowing to the flesh. And the Bible says in verse number 8, if we sow to the flesh, we will of the flesh reap corruption. But if we sow to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. There's people tonight who are in jail, or out on bail, or on their way to hell. There's people tonight who are in the same storm over and over and over and over. Listen, I'm not holier than thou, nor am I perfect or anywhere near it. But somebody has to tell it like it is. And the reason for that is, is because if you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap things that are of life. Someone who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap worldly things, things that are worldly and carnal and things that are corrupt. Look, if you would, in verse number 16 of chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse number 16. Paul is talking about the walking in the Spirit. He says this in chapter 5, verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Or there's this tug of war against the Spirit. There's this battle within the believer. He says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Listen to this. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Let me pause here for a moment and just mention a couple of these. In verse number 21, the word drunkenness. When someone gets drunk, a person can do anything. Just on the news the other night, someone got drunk, shot someone, and is in prison the rest of their life. And so a person who sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Now a fruit, or at least a work of the flesh in this sense, the person who got drunk, shot someone and killed them, they're going to be in prison the rest of their life. Revelings, fightings, the word in verse number 21, envyings, murderers, drunkenings, revelings. Let's see, there was another one I wanted to mention. Verse number 20, heresies. I'm working in reverse here. Heresies, sedation, strife, wrath. What about wrath? Someone gets wrathful and in a fit of rage. There's a show out on one of the law channels called Snapped, and someone in a fit of rage or jealousy, they just snap and they commit a crime, and then they serve a life sentence and sometimes go to death row. Listen, these are works of the flesh. All of these. Lasciviousness, verse number 19, lasciviousness, uncleanness. Uncleanness, there's HIV, there's sexually transmitted diseases. Even in our current pandemic right now, this coronavirus, fornication, adultery, all of these things, they beget one another. And so he's talking about verse number 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Listen, there is a due season for everything. But then he says, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. We know ultimately that the person who puts their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ through one act of obedience shall forever spend eternity in heaven with Jesus, but also there are acts of obedience in a practical manner, day in and day out, that are manifested. Look in verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now, these are fruits that testify of the believer. But also, these are things that also are produced more or less than others through obedience. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. And so the person that sows to the Spirit, there will be a harvest of such things. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And so this, when Paul, he's talking about, in verse number 9, he is talking about this due season. And so in part tonight, he's talking about, in verse number 8, sowers. And depending on what you sow is depending on what you will reap. Let me say something else. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Paul alludes to something else. He says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That means that our labor here on earth as we serve the Lord, as we labor for Him, is not in vain. What does that mean? Due season. That means that ultimately one day when we see Him, that we will be rewarded, or there will be loss of reward depending on our motive. If we did it for selfish gain, then we have gained our reward. That was our reward, that selfish gain. Then on that day, that would be a loss of reward. But if it was for Him and His glory, then we will have reward there. So what else does that mean? Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain. What else does that mean? That just means that one day there's going to be reward there. But also that can mean that God has reward here. Sometimes God rewards with souls saved here. And sometimes God rewards here with needs, or well, God blesses with those needs, whether we do what we're supposed to or not, because that's based upon His goodness. But God blesses with rewards at times. Let me mention something else. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 6 through 8, there was a statement Paul made. And I'm paraphrasing here, but 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 6 through 8. Paul said this. He said, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. How about that? That's another type of due season. Paul himself said, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Another type of due season. Church, remember, we're talking about patience here. And Paul said, and let us not be weary in well doing. Meaning, take heart. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. What is he talking about? Be patient, take heart. There is a due season. He says that sometimes God uses some people to do planning. And then other times, God uses people to water. And then other times, God, in all times, God does the increase. So this whole idea of due season, there's a reward in heaven, but there's also a reward now. And so we see that this due season, it's in heaven, it's now. The whole idea is to take heart because there's harvest. And God is after patience. Let me mention one more thing, and we'll be through. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Notice the little word if. It is contingent. It is contingent on the remaining three words. If we faint not. The word faint here, it means exhaust out. It means to dissolve or quit. And so we have here the last word dealing with patience, and that is the word halt. The word heart, harvest, and halt. All three deal with patience. So he says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, heart, for in due season we shall reap harvest, if, contingency, we faint not. Paul is telling us, God is wanting us to cultivate patience, take heart. There is a harvest, so we need to halt. So tonight, whatever situation you're in, God is working in your life. He will reward you. He will reward you ultimately there. But I'm telling you tonight, He will reward you now. I don't know when, but He will reward you now. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11 and verse number 6, He tells us that. For without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for He is a rewarder for those who diligently seek Him. And so the trouble is, at times we struggle with waiting on God, and we struggle with our patience toward God. Let me say this, and we'll be done. The farmer puts the seed in the ground. The seed is not supposed to come up. In fact, I believe it's a pear tree. That pear tree, the moment it's planted, it is even not supposed to surface until about 3 to 6 years. Why is it when we plant something, we want to be up the next morning? I at least that's my thinking. I plant something. It's been a year since I planted anything, but that's my thinking. I have a seed. I plant it, go to sleep, wake up, I walk out there. If that thing ain't sticking out of the ground, I get mad. All right? I go to Home Depot, wherever, I buy a pack of seeds. Okay? I'm happy. I got some seeds. I go out in the backyard, I plant that thing. I wake up the next day, if that thing ain't planted, I get mad, I get angry. Why is that? Because I'm not patient. But you know what? It's not natural. It's not natural. It's not healthy. In fact, it would be alien if I planted this thing and I came up the next day and that thing was sitting just like that. That would be alien for that thing to be there. If I planted a seed, I went to Home Depot, I planted a seed, day and that thing was right there, that would be scary, not natural. I would sure enough have a chia pet right here, but it would not be natural. But you know, now I'm getting kind of goofy, but a pear tree, a peach tree, pear or peach, the idea is this: 3 to 6 years. 3 to 6 years. is the natural cycle. It takes patience. Think about how that farmer feels. Think about the farmer. What kind of school is it? Agricultural school? They know what they're getting into before they go to school. They go now a school. I know back in the day, it sure probably wasn't no kind of a school, but it's called agricultural school now. I mean, that it couldn't be no more depressing than that. Go to agricultural school to get a degree in farming, and then when you actually start farming, you got to do all that work, and then you got to wait, and then you pray for rain, and then finally, when your harvest comes in, I mean, it's just a lot of relying on God, really. But guess what? That's the Christian life tonight. That's the Christian life, is relying on God. And I believe tonight with all my heart that God, through Paul, is trying to tell us that life, life is not a sprint. Life is not easy. Life is not always going to be wake up in the morning, go to work, and come home without any inconvenience. Life is not going to be go to school, come home. Life is not going to be come and go as usual without any interruptions. Life is not going to be, without any bad health reports. Life is not going to be that way. There's going to be troubles in life. There's going to be problems in life. There are going to be things in life. Therefore, we need patience. And God is wanting to get us from point A to point B. But we have need of patience. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Whatever that reward is, in fact, I believe that reward most times is patience. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Church, tonight, take heart. A harvest is coming. Just halt and not give up. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. We thank you for who you are, for what you do. We used a little humor tonight, but Father, we are sure the message got out the best we could. And that is just the subject of patience and not getting to a place of being spiritless or losing heart. Lord, help us all not to just be a form and just going through the motions with our hearts left at home. Lord, help us keep our hearts in our chest, knowing, Lord, that our labor is not in vain, but we serve a God who's keeping accounts, and that will prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies at the right time. And Lord, we're thankful for that. We will continue. We will press on, because we know you have a purpose and plan. Bless the church tonight. Keep everyone safe. Father, we eagerly await for Wednesday night, where we can share the good words of God again. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Everyone have a blessed night and be safe.